Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
I think the overall message coming out of this convention, not only for LGBT people, but for all who are looking for a community that embraces peace, justice, tolerance, compassion, and the good news of God in Christ Jesus, is that the Episcopal Church welcomes you.
Well, that's Susan Russell, president of Integrity, an Episcopal gay advocacy group, commenting on what happened at the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA. That's the takeaway message for her. Others are not as pleased, although it doesn't seem to be any question what the Episcopalians did. The headline reads, Episcopalians to bless gay unions. Robert Lundy joins us. He's communications officer for the American Anglican Council. Robert, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd, and thank you for letting me join you today.
What disappointed you most about the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA?
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, there were several things that happened from a scriptural standpoint and from a biblical standpoint that are very disappointing. But the most disappointing for me is that people who are unbelievers, people who the Word of God needs to be preached to lovingly, are going to look at this church, could look at this church, this general convention, and think, you know, that's what all Christians believe, or that's what many Christians believe, and so really, it's just disappointing to see how unbelievers react when they hear this news. And I want to say, no, that's not what the Bible stands for. There's a grain of truth in everything they say, but then there's a lot of untruth in it, and so that's just the biggest disappointment.
The comment that we heard from the gay advocacy group was that this is peace, this is justice, this is tolerance, this is acceptance, and this doesn't have any conflict with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you respond to that?
That's not true. Like I said, with everything that the Episcopal Church teaches and their leaders sort of expound on, there's a grain of truth in it. Yes, the gospel and the message of Jesus is about justice and peace, Micah 6:8. He showed you, O man, what is good, and he requires you to love mercy and to act justly and to do good. However, what they're leaving out is a good example is when Jesus is speaking with the woman who was caught in adultery, and he tells her, you know, no one's going to throw stones at you, and your sins are forgiven. But then he says, go and sin no more. And that's what they leave out. They like to proclaim inclusivity. They like to proclaim that, you know, the Episcopal Church welcomes you. That's wonderful. That is great. However, Jesus, when he met people, he changed them. He didn't leave them like they were. And that's just a terrible untruth that the Episcopal Church and Ms. Russell and those kind of groups are spreading.
All right, then, let's talk about what effect this is likely to have on the Episcopal Church USA's relationship with worldwide Anglicanism. What would your predictions be?
Well, right now they're scared. The reason I say they're scared, they being the Episcopal Church leadership, is because last summer at what was called the Lambeth Conference, it's a 10-yearly meeting of bishops and representatives from around the Anglican Communion, there was a lot of angst and frustration expressed to them by other Anglicans around the world, saying, you know, why are you doing this? This is how what you have done in the U.S. has affected me in another part of the globe. The Archbishop of Canterbury, at the second day of the convention last week, 2 weeks ago rather, he told the Episcopal Church, he said, I'm glad I'm here. I hope you don't do what I think you're going to do. I mean, that's just a paraphrase. But he basically said, please do not move forward on this agenda because it's going to further tear this communion. And it's going to really what I think it's going to do is you're going to see a realignment for the good in the Anglican Communion. And what I mean is right now the Anglican Communion is separated into 38 different geographically oriented provinces. There are some instances where there'll be a area that's aligned with a, you know, someplace thousands of miles away. But for the most part, these are geographically centered regional churches. What's going to happen, I believe, is there's going to be some reorganization. There's going to be a sort of realignment on doctrinal grounds, whereas people in the U.K., they will remain part of the Church of England. However, they will also say, you know, just because we're part of the Church of England, we are really aligned with those who believe like us. And they will be developing networks and friendships and support groups that will help them sort of refocus on the truth of the gospel and not on these geographical regions, because obviously not everyone in the Episcopal Church believes this, it's going to be messy, but that's usually what happens when sin gets involved.
Was there any action or discussion officially at the General Convention of these breakaway provinces or dioceses?
No, not directly. Yes, indirectly. I mean, it wasn't on the official agenda. I will say the first weekend of the Episcopal Church's General Convention, the Church of England also had their convention. They're really called a synod. And it's interesting that the Church of England is taking up recognizing a breakaway province, as some people may call it. It's called the Anglican Church in North America. And now the Church of England is debating, you know, whether or not they should recognize this new Anglican entity in the United States. I know that the Episcopal Church leadership does not approve of that. They do not like the idea of there being a quote-unquote rival province. They seem to view it sort of as a franchise. You know, we have the name Episcopal. We have the Anglican franchise in America, which is sad. But it doesn't going to change. It's not going to change the reality that there is a rival or another Anglican entity in the U.S.
Do you think that more parishes, perhaps even dioceses, after this action of the General Convention this last week, will consider joining those breakaway groups?
No, absolutely. I know it's already happened. I've already had people calling me about it. And I can assure you that there will be more parishes or a church. If you're not into the whole Anglican speak, parish is just another name for a church. There are many parishes and churches that are considering leaving the Episcopal Church and will probably act on it very soon. And there are also dioceses, a few, that while that is a much larger undertaking to move an entire diocese out of the Episcopal Church, I can definitely say that they are considering their options. And what they're considering is, okay, now that our national church has done this, we don't believe, you know, that they did the right thing. So how can we remain faithful and stay in this church? Or if we can't, then how do we leave?
And how do you expect the officialdom of the Episcopal Church USA to react to further parishes, further dioceses, perhaps leaving their fold?
They'll sue them, like they have been. Basically, what happens is, over the past 10 years, there have been mass departures from the Episcopal Church. Basically, Orthodox or traditional Episcopalians have left. Some have left with their feet and just left as individuals. Others have left as an entire parish. And as you can imagine, if you have grown up in this church and given the money to this church and your father's ashes are you know, interred in this church, or you have a tie to it, you don't want to just leave your church and this building and turn it over to the national church. Unfortunately, a very, very terrible outcome of this whole mess is that the national church is suing individual churches, saying we don't want you to, you can't take that property, we think it's ours. Some people opt just to leave it, and some people try to fight it in the secular courts.
Then with only about 20 seconds here, is it true that the Episcopal Church USA voted to reject the Defense of Marriage Act? 30 seconds.
They did. That was a surprise. There are many things that this General Convention did that are very much aligned with more secular liberal views in the United States. So it's very interesting to see that at work as well.
Robert Lundy is Communications Officer for the American Anglican Council. You'll find a link to the American Anglican Council at issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest. Keep up the good work.
All right, you too. God bless.
It's sad to see this happen. Of course, there are many within and outside of the Episcopal Church USA who would have said it might come to this. This quickly? No, I don't think anyone guessed it would come to this quickly. But another thing that's not in question is what it's going to do to that oldest Protestant denomination in the United States. It cannot long hang together when, or stand together, or walk together when it does not believe, teach, and confess the same things. Some might argue that the Episcopal Church USA was simply a very broad, big tent kind of an organization held together by the Book of Common Prayer. Well, if that's all that's holding you together, and not your beliefs and your fidelity to Scripture, then what's happening here is not a bad thing, but in fact a good thing, separating the men from the boys, theologically, so to speak. We'll be right back to talk about Elijah.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
President Obama at 6 months in office.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
As President Obama completes 6 months in office, a look at his policies quickly reveals that he never found the common ground on abortion that he had promised. So far, this administration has increased funding to Planned Parenthood, reversed the pro-life Mexico City policy, provided $1 billion for international so-called family planning, selected staunchly pro-abortion federal appointees, rescinded conscience protection for pro-life medical providers, and the list goes on. Clearly, abortion advocates have an open door, and we are seeing the most pro-abortion administration in decades.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.